Did my double dog Darius scare you too much this week? Don't worry, y'all. I got your back.
You're listening to Inbox Besties, the only little guy approved podcast that gives you dangerously practical advice for turning internet randos into subscribers with benefits. You know, the kind that pop open their wallets and throw fistfuls of cash at you for your courses and coaching, not like that other stuff. Perf. Now let's get to it.
Oh, welcome back, my inbox bestie. Kate Doster here of katedoster.com, creator of the email marketing fairy template set with over 50 grab and go templates to help you do everything from create an 11-part sales funnel to an amazing welcome series. And you know, I got newsletters coming out the wazoo in that template set, which you can get your hands on by heading on over to theemailmarketingfairy.com. So this week on our Double Dog Dare, which is number 3, in case you're not listening to this podcast in order, was basically, I Double Dog Dare you to go ahead and pitch a podcast. Of course, these Double Dog Dares that come out on Monday are super mini episodes where I give you one action task for the week to help you either grow your list, your notoriety, or honestly, your business building mindset. And we have some really juicy Double Dog Dares coming up in the next coming months, so make sure you hit subscribe now. So instead of having an episode where I just talk your ear off about how to pitch podcast and even guest blog post, if you decided to kind of be like, I don't know if I want to get on a podcast, but maybe a blog post, this is the episode for you. I actually pulled one of our most popular interviews from the archives from Christy Laverty, who is actually a PR specialist based off of Canada. Now, basically, PR or public relations is just fancy schmancy for Christine used to be the gatekeeper between having guest experts come on the television shows or radio shows that she worked on. And this is how people who pitched her cold, so out of the blue, could actually get onto the shows that she was producing. This interview, while the audio quality is not as good as it is now, guys, because it is one of my earlier episodes, it is just dripping in valuable, actionable content. And the freebie that Christine mentions in this episode is still live, guys. So make sure you go ahead and grab your email pitch template kit that she has for you guys. There's an email template in there. It is a fantastic freebie and you need to get on it. There's a link in the show notes as always, guys. And without further ado, guys, let's go ahead and thank our tool of the week and then just dive right into our interview. If I walked over to your laptop, how many tabs are I see open? 1, 2, 27. And let's be real, you're probably listening to this podcast with one earbud in, and you're driving or doing the dishes, but secretly you're mapping out your next new course, which will definitely propel you to six figures and beyond, unlike those 8 other half-finished stinker courses that are just clogging up your hard drive on your computer. Those things are going nowhere. But then you remember you haven't actually done a blog post in like 2 months, so you should probably do that, but your traffic's like 5, so that really doesn't matter that much, especially since you're now getting the red arrow of death from your Facebook business page. So clearly you now need to do a live, but you got to clean up the house and make sure that the kids aren't around and get that done. So then maybe you'll go back to the course, but then I don't know about the blog post, but like, it's really going to be that effective. And then you just get so frazzled and so overwhelmed. They just like, screw it. I'm watching the Gilmore Girls again. Hashtag Team Jess forever. The problem is that you're trying to run your business from a pretty notebook that you got from Target that you've lost, and the scrap pieces of paper that you now use to kind of make up for it, which have a never ending to-do list that never gets done because you're so scattered. What you need is a simple system that was created for somebody like you, an uber passionate, super scattered, shiny object prone creative entrepreneur with a passion for business, but organization's not really your strong point. Created by somebody who actually gets it, the most anti-type A personality that there is, me. What you need is Trelling for Traffic. Trelling for Traffic is literally your business in a box. See, unlike that pretty notebook that we still can't find, Trelling for Traffic actually comes with boards and workflows that you can use to run your business. I'm talking about breaking down everything into the nitty-grittiest, smallest parts so nothing slips through the cracks. Everything from what you need to do when with a mega launch to how to use Pinterest without actually having to pay for a scheduler. And of course, my favorite, how to plan out your quarter, week, and day, because if I'm looking at everything in my week, I'm going to skip around. That's why my day board is my favorite. Now, to get your hands on all of these 22 boards and 15 workflows, which have been called life-changing by not one, but several of the 100 students that invested in this course the first 3 days it was open. Craziness, right? Head on over to trellingfortraffic.com. That's trellingfortraffic.com. And guys, I didn't even tell you the best part. It's only $24. Isn't your sanity worth $24? especially when it'll give you that recognition and revenue that your business deserves. So head on over to trelloingfortraffic.com right now. So guys, welcome so much, Christy Laverty, woohoo, to Inbox Besties. Now, the reason why this is so special is because she is a 20-year veteran of actually working in journalism. Like, I'm talking about in Canada's largest broadcasting newsroom. She has done television, people, like television, for the last 20 years. So she's not somebody that just like read a couple of other PR articles and was like, oh, I can totally get people to do that. I know hashtags. Like, this is like legit, like actual stuff. So I am beyond excited. And I said, keep on pressing to you guys. You need to be growing your communities, whether it's your inbox one or your Facebook groups, which we're going to tell you about a killer one that you need to join today as well. And getting on camera and in radio just does so much to elevate your social proof. And between all the amazing tips that we're going to get here today and from listening to Inbox Besties, once you get those people, we are going to turn them into those subscribers with benefits. So is there anything else that we sort of like left out of your bio or like fun fact that you want to drop here in Inbox Besties?
Well, I've also worked in radio and television. Ooh. So radio, you know, is kind of one of my faves. I worked in television a long time, but I have to admit that radio for an entrepreneur is a great spot because all you need is a phone and you can connect from anywhere around the world. So, you know, really, really awesome. So I'm a huge fan of radio as well.
Excelente. So radio isn't something that we hear about pitching or getting pitched to so much in the entrepreneurial space. It usually is more like the glossy magazines and things like the Huffington Post. So let's sort of flip the script. Talk to me a little bit about radio and how we would get on there. And then we'll go into your backstory about becoming an entrepreneur. Yeah.
So the reason why I love radio is because there are stations across North America, in the UK, over in Europe, that you can really tap into because you don't have to be in that city. And as long as you've got topics, information that can really benefit that audience, they don't really care where you're at. And as long as you have a phone or a way to connect, and maybe it's via Skype or any of the other software, you can really do an interview anywhere in the world. And that really opens up the boundaries for press and media for you. Television, it's glamorous and it's glitzy and you know, you get to be on camera, which is a good thing, also a bad thing if it's, you know, you have to struggle with getting into the spotlight. Radio allows you to do that in a huge way with very little effort from you because you don't have to leave your house. You don't have to worry about what you look like on
always
camera.
Always a plus.
Huge plus. And you can really, you know, sort of branch out because there are hundreds and hundreds of radio stations. If we want to stick with, you know, North America, across North America, that are really eager to get content. There are a number of all news radio stations that really need the content. When you think about 24/7, every single day, all year long, that's a huge amount of content that they need to produce. And newsrooms are smaller now than ever before. So they welcome the press releases, the pitches, the content. So it really gives you an opportunity to step out, to get the press, to learn how to do it, especially if you've never reached out before, you've never gotten press before. TV can be really overwhelming, but radio allows you to step into the spotlight a little bit without all of the cameras, and really get your feet wet and test out that area of, you know, sort of marketing, because that's really what it is, right? You're marketing, you're sharing yourself. Radio allows you to do that in a really simple way. And that's why I love it. It's easily accessible for everyone. And it doesn't just have to be, you know, in your car. Cause I think people, that's the challenge with radio.
Yeah.
People are used to, oh, well, I don't drive, or, you know, I take transit, so I'm not listening to my radio. But all of those stations have an online platform. You can listen live on your handheld device, on your laptop, your desktop, whatever it is. And so that really broadens the scope for, you know, people hearing you and connecting with you. So radio is really, for me, an awesome way to start.
I hope you guys can't hear my pen in the background. I'm like writing this down as like a note to myself, because even though I am a podcaster, I never thought like actual, like legit radio. I think all of us just think like, oh, like online radio and all that new stuff. And I'm sure that you cover this a lot more in your group program that you're opening up the doors to again in the press success group. But I'm getting ahead of myself, guys. I know you're all like, I need to get into this group. Don't worry. We will give you the info. So what I want to know, we're going to like draw back the curtain just a little bit on you and your entrepreneurial journey before we dive more into your head for those juicy tips for PR. So how did you actually become an entrepreneur? Like, were you like the kid that was selling like lollipops? Did you just sort of stumble into it? What's like your entrepreneurial journey?
I would say I probably stumbled into it a little bit. You know, with the intro, 20 years in journalism. I always cringe a little bit because I feel like I age myself tremendously by that.
She started age six, everybody.
That's right.
She's
really young.
Age six.
But you know what? I was working in television and radio, and really I started to blog. And so I was starting to make connections. I think I started blogging in 2007. And so I was, you know, writing and connecting with people. And the more I stepped out of the newsroom to connect with people at blogging conferences and networking events and started to share what I was doing, because I wasn't blogging actually as a media and PR person. I was blogging as a young mom, a parent, a working parent. And I started to connect with people and share what I did in my real life. And, you know, people were like, oh gosh, I'd love to be on TV. How do I do that? And when I realized that so many people didn't really understand how the media worked and how to actually connect with them, I started to kind of, the light bulb went off a little bit, and I was like, okay. So as I transitioned from blogging, I started to share more about what I did in my professional life and how I could help bloggers and entrepreneurs connect with the media and understand what it is that they really wanted. And I started to kind of do that on the side, a bit of a side hustle. And then when I got packaged out of my media job, which, you know, a lot of people were, you know, initially their feeling was, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was actually happy because it allowed me to really step in with both feet. You know, it can be hard stepping into that entrepreneurial world full time when you've done it as a side hustle for a long time. And that was really the push that I needed, because I had been time challenged with doing that, you know, part-time, in that I couldn't commit full-time hours to, you know, speak at conferences and to go to events because I had full-time hours. So that was really the step to feed in to entrepreneurial world. And it is a challenge every day to sort of balance that when you don't have the hard deadlines of news every day, that's for sure. But it really has allowed me the knowledge, because I don't think that I would, for me, be effective. Like you said, it wasn't just a couple of books or a couple of articles that I picked up and read about PR. This is, you know, real newsroom experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly pitches and press releases that I've seen. Can I, you know, share what it is that I have wanted from people pitching? You know, you'd see some pitches and you're like, oh, that's really good, but they're kind of missing the mark here. And, you know, being a producer, you didn't have time to share exactly what it was with that person and give them the feedback that you knew that they needed. So now I'm able to do that and really share, and also tap into some of the media friends that I still have to say, you know, what is it that you need? What is it that you're looking for? How can we bring entrepreneurs and journalists together and really share that expertise with an audience? Because the media just want to entertain and educate and inform the audience. And entrepreneurs want to do the same, right? You want an informed community of customers and clients. So they want to do the same thing, just from a different perspective. It really is something that I love when you see that light bulb or hear it when you're talking to somebody and they get it and they feel the confidence. It's awesome. I love that people, you know, kind of learn a bit more about how, I don't want to say easy, but how doable it is to do your own media and PR. Because that's one of the other challenges when you're an entrepreneur, you're a solo entrepreneur, you even have a small team of people, having a budget for advertising and marketing and to advertise in some of these, you know, big magazines or on a big network. I mean, it's not possible. So getting media allows you to reach that same customer and client base without spending tens of thousands of dollars on advertising, but also not spending tens of thousands of dollars on your own PR rep. I believe that entrepreneurs can do it themselves. And, you know, I know it's a challenge, but simple things to put in place can really make it easy for you. And then when you're at a point where you have the budget and, you know, you don't mind spending $10,000 as a retainer for a PR rep because your company is so big, then you know how to get it done and you know the questions to ask and you know what really needs to be done as far as hiring a PR rep because you've got the experience behind you already.
Yeah, I think that that is so important for everyone to realize is that a lot of people, I know, like you had said, that as an entrepreneur, we are very time strapped, especially in the beginning, if it is just that side hustle that we are nurturing. And so we're like, oh, well, I'll just hand this off. But you do need to learn the nuts and bolts of it first. So that way you can make an informed decision with your dollars that you're actually hiring somebody that is following through. And I love that you admitted that even still now you have trouble with hard deadlines because like you said, you don't necessarily have some. I think that's what we all sort of struggle with as online entrepreneurs. And we tend to like brush over that like, oh, I'm a super person. Now, I believe personally that you can tell a lot by a person by looking at their DVD case, or I guess nowadays, because now I'm dating myself, an 80s baby, but now just in their online stuff. And when I asked you what your favorite movie was, you said that it was Powder. So could you actually go ahead and tell us a little bit about the movie and why that one is? Because I guarantee we've got like powder heads going to be like, oh my goodness, I love that too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's not a very mainstream movie. And you know what? I love it because it's a bit sci-fi. I'm a little bit sort of sci-fi fantasy kind of genre.
Same here.
And the reason why I like it, and it's funny because I played it for my kids and they were a little bummed by the ending, but I like it because it's about somebody who's different, who doesn't fit the mold. He looks different. He acts different. And it's, you know, it's fantasy, but it kind of pulls in the whole idea of using our minds and the power that we really have in our minds and what we could do if we could really harness even 5%, 10% more of our own brains. I just like what it says about being different and how hard it is to be different, and how there's always going to be people who don't accept you. But if you stay true to who you are and what you believe, then there is a vast universe of possibilities. That's why I like it.
The way that that mirrors entrepreneurship, guys, like it's just, there's just so many different nuggets that we can pull out from that. Like you are going to get haters when you go out and be yourself. Some people might not get it. Like, honestly, guys, like how many of your friends and family are really concerned about building an email list? Like, we're kind of weirdos. And that's what I always like to say at the beginning of any of my webinars and online training. It's like, most people aren't doing this at 9 p.m. at night. So we are different and just accept that. But what I really want to touch on, and I think this is a lot of people are thinking that, especially if they're going to be pitching radio or news desk, is I feel like their mind is what's really keeping them back. Like, how do you know, like, if you're an expert enough to even be opening your mouth about a topic that you want to talk about on the radio? Like, how do I know that I'm enough of a marketing guru pants to be like, hey guys, I'll go on your radio station and talk about email marketing? So I guess it's really a two-part question. How do you help your clients and students get over that mental hurdle? And then what things do you think that they actually do need to have in place concretely to be able to speak about a subject?
I can't stress how right you are about that, because for so many people, it's the fear of stepping out, the fear of not being enough, and that whole expert guru. And how I like to take that whole thing and kind of flip it around is not that you are the expert, right? Because you're using your own perspective and your own journey, whether it's journey as an entrepreneur or just a human being. We all have our own experiences. So I think if you take it from the perspective of expertise, we all have expertise in a certain area, whether it's expertise in a certain area of our life or our business or entrepreneurship, so that it's not that you are the expert on that particular topic. You're coming from an area of expertise. And that kind of takes some of the pressure off, because you don't have all the answers. You have answers based on your level of expertise. And that's okay. And it's okay not to have all of the answers. And to say, you know, for your perspective, this is how you see things. Sure, there are always going to be people who don't see it from your perspective. And that's okay. You just have to embrace your level of expertise. It's not that you're perfect. You just have your own experience and what's worked for you. And if you frame it like that, if you frame your information like that, then I think that you have less haters, because you're coming from it from your own perspective. Try not to see that it's about perfection, because that's impossible. And we all have a story to share, whether it's about what you do in your business or how you made it to this stage in your life. How did you, you know, balance work and family? How did you start out being an entrepreneur? Sometimes I think we overthink things. And when we go back to the beginning of our chat about that, the media want to entertain, educate, inform, enlighten. That's what they want to do with their audience. And for you as an entrepreneur, wanting to get press and publicity and media mentions is really about doing the same thing. You want to inform an audience about what you do and who you are. You want to entertain, because nobody wants to be bored.
Nope.
And you want to, you know, excite people about what you do and why you do it and why you help people and how you make their lives better or easier or happier, more efficient, whatever it is that you do. So coming from that perspective, I think can take a little bit of the pressure off as well. It's not complicated, and, you know, overthinking, right? Again, overthink things.
So much. I always tell that people, like, my little motto, since I do deal a lot with, you know, the inbox, is just press send, people. Just press send. And what I really love about what you said, and feel free to jump in here if it's a little off, is that as long as people have gotten some results in the area that they're pitching about, that's really what matters, is having some type of result and having it be a topic or thing that really lights you up. Like you were talking about, as part of that whole being entertaining thing, I find when people are really talking about their zone of geekdom, like I always like to talk about, like their whole face just like lights up and they get really energetic and they talk really fast. So would you say, as a journalist who has gotten pitches, that sort of comes through, or after you've had like a post interview with somebody, it's really just some type of results and the enthusiasm?
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, it's your experience. And even to talk about being an entrepreneur and address your failures or what you think are failures. Again, it's what you can teach people about the process. And sometimes getting press and publicity isn't about you sort of sharing what you do with your business or your serving your customers. Maybe it's about a life experience, or it's about a hobby and how that relates to how you approach being an entrepreneur. Sometimes getting press is really just about putting your face on TV and getting your name out there. So maybe it's not directly about your business, but maybe it's about something else in your life. I always like to use the whole idea of your circle. So you use the circle of your life and maybe your hobbies and then your business, and sort of where do they intersect in the middle and how you can find some common ground to share those ideas. So yeah, if you've gotten some results, if you've gotten, you've worked with customers and have some experiences to share, or using something like what I call news piggybacking. So you piggyback on something that's already in the news. You know, what's happening So maybe, you know, we'll use a serious news story. So something that's happening in the news, maybe you're a counselor or you're a family therapist or you are somebody who is spiritual and self-help and you help people with meditation or something like that. So how can you jump on a story that's in the news and share what you do in a way that can help an audience? And then obviously sharing how they can work with you in the future. So maybe it's about helping families deal with serious news stories and how they can, you know, explain that to their children. Or maybe it's, you know, you have a counseling business, you're a psychologist or something like that. So you're sharing your expertise, your tidbits in a way that helps. And then you can share in a broader way with the media.
Yeah. I think that's really great because it's, you know, like you said, it's you're piggybacking when you're almost putting a spin on things. Not that you're like sitting there hoping like, oh, I hope there's a giant tragedy that I can talk about to help with my business. But I think that's just a really great golden nugget, especially if you're nervous about pitching like your own idea based in like your own zone of geekdom and you're like, oh, but if you know how to contact a journalist, and we've got an amazing freebie for you guys about how to send those pitch emails. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. And be like, hey, like, I'm a psychologist. I work with children. I would love to write a piece or interview or be on your show to talk about how to talk to your kids about, you know, A, B, C, or D. And people would really like that. So I want to just dive into your expert brain a lot. And I know that you go over a lot of this in your group that you are going to be opening up, the Press Success Group Coaching Program, where like hands-on and knee-deep, willy will in people and getting themselves publicity. And also you talk about it in your free Facebook group, which I have to say, you give a lot. So could you give them the URL and just talk about the group really slightly? And then I have like some of my own personal questions that I'm going to answer.
So of course it's facebook.com/groups/media-pr-collective. For entrepreneurs. And it really is about being a collective. So I want everybody in there to feel free to ask questions and to support each other. And I do daily themes, but I also, you know, let people ask questions as far as story ideas. And we've had people jump in there and say, hey, you know, I've got this brilliant pitch, but I can't seem to find the producer for, you know, whatever show from that network. And so, you know, we've had people that said, oh, no problem, let me send it to you, or here's how to find it, which is great because I want it to be a group where we can share information. I've got a lot of my own expertise that I'd love to share, but we've got some people in there that have got media experience as far as their own pitching. And so they jump in sometimes and support other entrepreneurs. So I love the vibe. I love the information that's being shared. And I share a ton. I love to hang out in there. And I really just want entrepreneurs to see that everyone has a story. Everybody has something that's worth sharing. And the media want what you're sharing. They want the content. They are starving for new stories, new thought leaders, new people to share expertise.
Awesome. That is so great. So of course, there is a link in the show notes. And if you go ahead on your podcast player and you click the little cover art, there will be a link directly to the Facebook group. So you can ask to join at any point in time that you are listening to this. So I am very excited to share that resource. It is phenomenal. So say I have decided, because I work in, it should be quarterly, but it's monthly goals. I'll be real with you. I'm too ADD to plan out 90 days in advance. So say that I have decided that this upcoming month, I really want to work on my PR, but like I have done like nothing at all. What are maybe like three like baby steps that we can take to get us in the right direction? Like, should I pick like the medium? Like, oh, I only want to work in radio first, or like what should I even start doing at like when I've got nothing besides a dream to get on something?
Right. So what I would say is, if you have any kind of editorial calendar, start paying a little bit of attention to your own editorial calendar. So are you using that to blog? Are you using that to send themed newsletters? So look at those topics and think about how you can turn some of those key events or dates on your editorial calendar into stories that are pitchable, right? So how can you turn that information in that's newsworthy, that someone's going to want to hear? The other thing you want to start doing is you have to think about your media contacts. If you have none, it's no problem.
Well, you, when we get into your free Facebook group, which you can find out in the show notes.
Exactly. So what I would say is that there are people who buy media contact lists, and you can do that if you want. I don't necessarily think that you have to, because buying a list doesn't really help you build the relationship, because you don't know what kind of content that that media person wants. Mm-hmm. You're useful. The thing that's going to help you the most is Twitter and LinkedIn.
Because just off that old profile, yes, everyone.
I know. LinkedIn is, you know, I'm with you. I'm not always on LinkedIn, but the thing about LinkedIn is because it's a professional social network, that's all journalists are going to list where they work, right? So they're going to tell you, they're going to tell you what the position is and where they work. And what you're going to find also is you're going to find other connections, right? So they're going to be friends with their friends and other people in their industry, because again, it might not even be friends, but they want to network with people in their industry. Mm-hmm. So Twitter is one of those places where, again, every journalist has a professional handle there, because it's almost a requirement in newsrooms and shows, you know, publications. They're actually using Twitter, and it's funny because a lot of people say, oh, I don't really use Twitter that much anymore, or I'm not on it, you know, that much. But journalists use it to source stories all the time. So they're looking to see what hashtags are trending, what people are talking about, you know, who's also sharing that hashtag about a particular story. So if you're sharing content, you'll be searchable on Twitter. The other thing is that you can find, so in the search box on Twitter, you can look for media. So you could put ABC news producer, and then it's going to come up with a list of everyone that lists an ABC news producer on their profile. And you can narrow it down to the city that you want or the particular show and start following them. And the thing is some of them put their email addresses on their handles, some don't, but start making some lists on Twitter, and that'll really help you start to identify the names, because usually in media, the person who's the decision maker is a producer, or in radio, sometimes they're called editors, but they're the same position.
Good and to know, guys. You're looking for editors and producers.
And producers. They tend to be the show decision makers. The stories that come to be put together in a lineup tend to be decided on by a producer. So those are the kind of people that you're going to want to reach out to. And they're, again, they're on Twitter, they're on LinkedIn. So you want to start following them, because good media and PR is really about building relationships. And it's okay to ask a producer, say, hey, you know what, I've got a really great story. I'd love to send you a pitch. Where can I connect with you? Can I email it to you? They prefer to be emailed. Most in a number of studies have been done where they've talked to journalists. Most still prefer email as a pitch, but you can connect with them on Twitter. So that's what you'll want to start doing, is find them on Twitter, find them on LinkedIn, make a little spreadsheet for yourself where you've got their name, the outlet, the show, for example, and maybe what content they share. And don't limit yourself just to, say, if you're a health and wellness person, to health and wellness segments or shows or magazines, because maybe if you're an online entrepreneur, you still are in the tech online world. So think about how you can spin. Maybe you have a fitness app. So obviously your health and wellness, but you also have technology. So broaden your horizons a little bit. Don't just think specific to your niche. So look at your editorial calendars, start building a media list. Mm-hmm. It's okay to ask for emails, right? You can just say, hey, I've got a great story I'd love to pitch you on. How can I reach out to you? If you don't hear back from them, go to websites, mastheads on magazines and newspapers. They put email addresses, even television and radio oftentimes will put email addresses up on.
That is so much gold.
We got another one, everyone. The one thing I will say, and this
spilling all the beans,
freaks people out a little bit. But if you can't find a particular journalist's email address online, pick up the phone and call the news.
Phones make phone calls. Yes. Dun, dun, dun. I'm gonna have to throw in a sound effect, guys.
Right.
Let's throw it in.
And I know it's tricky, and it's, you know, sometimes it's really hard to call a newsroom because of deadlines and you don't when they work. But most radio stations and television stations have a main switchboard person, right? They have a main secretary or unit receptionist or whatever it is. It's okay to call and say, hey, you know what? I want to send a press release or a story idea to whoever the journalist is. I'm struggling to find their email address. How can you connect me with somebody who can help me? Work email addresses, it's not a secret. It's not like there is, you know, their home address. They're not afraid to give it to you. They want to get stories. So they will give you their email address.
So we're not going to feel like we're annoying or like we're bugging them or like, cause I feel like that's like a mental block that some people might have. Yes. Like, oh, like I don't want to like annoy them cause then they'll never put me on the air. And then I wasted all that time. Like, I don't want to burn them.
Yeah. The thing I would say is if you're calling to speak to a journalist, it can be tricky. Most main switchboard type phone numbers, don't go straight to the journalist. It's okay to call the newsroom or the main reception area and just ask for that particular information and say, hey, you know what? I know that journalist is working on a deadline, so I don't want to, you know, interrupt the flow of their day. If you can just connect me with someone or you can give me the email address, how I can connect with them, that would be great. If they put you through and that journalist answers the phone, just be brief. Just say, hi, I'm so-and-so.
Be brief, people. Be brief.
Be brief and say, I've got a great story I'd love to send you. What email can I reach you at?
There you go, guys. Boom. Like, and now you're not even having to tell them the idea. It's just
right.
Really obvious. They might ask, have like that one or two sentence spiel, like, oh, it's about this and this. So I've got a couple of questions.
Yes.
And then we're going to dive into a little bit more about the whole email marketing thing. Ooh, yes. So really, I have three questions.
Okay.
So around the time that we are filming this and that this is going to go live, we have a big holiday coming up, at least in the United States, for Father's Day. Yes. So say that I wanted to hop on the Father's Day bandwagon. When should I have already pitched like a major holiday idea? So say like I'm, you know, a mom blogger and I want like, you know, five gifts that dads will love, like that sort of thing, or handmade things, or I'm a tech person. When should I have pitched that? Like, did I miss the boat or could I still sneak it in?
You could still sneak it in. So here's what I'll say. So big, what I would call lifestyle shows. So something like in the States, The Talk, or like here in Canada, we've got a couple in the Toronto area, The Social, Marilyn Dennis, anything that's sort of like a pre-recorded in a live audience, they work about 4 to 6 weeks in advance.
Oh.
So that's going to be tricky, but it's not, you haven't missed the boat because daily news, like daily television, daily radio, even to some degree, daily newspaper, right? They still do daily news. So you haven't missed the boat on that one. There is still an opportunity to connect. I would certainly start looking at connecting within the next week or so.
Yeah.
Magazines, again, print glossy magazines, they're like, you know, 4 to 6 months sometimes in advance. But got a lot of online magazines and, you know, podcasts again. So daily television, daily radio, daily newspapers, you still have an opportunity to reach out. Online magazines and podcasts for sure too. So you want to, you know, think about the platform. Obviously something glossy and recorded, again, those lifestyle shows, 4 to 6 weeks. Glossy magazines, 4 to 6 months. But there's a lot of opportunity still with the daily. So think about your local morning show. Sometimes the local morning shows, you know, 2 weeks to 4 weeks. So there may be room. It might be a little tight, but think about, is there a noon or 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock newscast that you is local to you. Definitely time to do that. Radio again. Radio is, there's so many possibilities. Do you have an all news station that's in your sort of urban market? Do you have a local station? Is there talk radio? Mm-hmm. Talk radio is a great opportunity, right? So it's not the daily news wheel, but it's there's segments, a way to, you know, touch base again, you know, things like, oh, I'm a mom blogger. So, you know, how, you know, what do men really want? A great talk radio topic, right? So, and also you can think outside the box. So maybe there's a sports talk radio station. A little bit odd, but maybe there is a way to spin it like, you know, the sports fan, the sports dad. How can moms and kids look at gifts for the sports dad? So think a little bit outside the box on that.
I love that. I love that. We get to put on our creative hats, guys.
All right,
so
exactly.
One more question for me, and then we're going to dive a little bit into your Inbox Buddy journey and where everyone, of course, can find you and the really valuable freebie that you guys have. I still don't believe she gives it away for free, but you guys are going to get it. So here's my question. I decide that, okay, I'm going to go all in on my PR. I've got like a list of topics, my sort of adjacent thing, like, oh, you know, I'm a mother and I work from home and I've got like a home office and all that stuff, retiring my spouse. Those are all really great stories. But you've mentioned going on Twitter, but I will be honest, my Twitter following is like 600 people, maybe at best. Follow me at Kate, at Kate Doster on Twitter. I'll put a link. You can help me out here. Is that going to affect a journalist's like opinion of me if like my social media isn't that large? Are they going to be like, does this person really know what they're talking about? They've got like five people here on Twitter.
For me as a producer, no. It often comes down to the quality of the pitch. Are you giving good value? Have you hit the mark as far as connecting with the right journalist? Again, if we go back to the health and wellness, if you're pitching a producer who deals with a segment on, you know, DIY and crafting and your health and wellness, you're going to miss the mark on that because you're not connecting with the right person. So sometimes, you know, when people pitch and they hear nothing and they start thinking, oh, it's, you know, my story wasn't good enough. You know, I don't have a huge following on Twitter, on social, and that must be it. When maybe it's as simple as you haven't actually connected with the right producer.
That was literally like my next question. I'm sorry to interrupt because I know your time is valuable. So I've got to wrap it up on my end. But how many, like, for the follow-up, how many emails should you be sending these people? Like, I'm sure you at least one after main pitch, but like, you don't want to be that annoying person. So like, what's like a good time span? I know that you talk way more about this even in your free Facebook group. And I know in the press success group coaching, you must go over this.
Yes.
But just for us little newbies here.
Follow-up is really key. And a lot of times I think people miss the opportunity because they don't follow up. So they send a pitch and they hear nothing. Mm-hmm. And so your natural inclination is to go, oh, I must suck so bad.
I'm the worst.
I'm the worst. The story, oh, they don't like me. And that oftentimes isn't the case at all. And I use this story. So when I was a producer at the radio station, it's all news radio station in Canada. And I got this pitch in the inbox and I don't even exactly remember what it was about, but I remember this experience. I saved it because I opened it on the bottom of my computer, meaning to answer it right away. And then I didn't. And the day got going and news happens and it's 5 hours later, 6 hours later, 7 hours later, it's the end of the day. And I'm meaning to go back to that email. And I just, the day is over and it was a busy news night. And we're just like, oh, thank God the day is over. And I close my computer and I drive home and I go home thinking about that story. I was like, oh, that really great story. And then I get to work the next day and I realize I didn't save it. I didn't flag it. It's in the inbox somewhere, but it's from somebody that I don't know and I can't remember their name. But now I have 500 new emails into my inbox and I can't find it. And it isn't because I didn't like it that I didn't reply. I just got busy and distracted, as people do, and newsrooms are busy. I could not, I searched that night. I could not find it. Next day happens. Third day, I get an email. It's a follow-up. Hey, just following up on that pitch that I sent you, you know, give me a shout. And I emailed them back. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you for emailing me back because I couldn't find your email. And I really love the story. I didn't recognize your name and you'd never pitched me before. So we didn't have a relationship and I didn't know who you were and I couldn't find it. And so then we set up a time and we did a phone interview and we did a story. But if that person hadn't followed up 3 days later, I would never have done the story because it was impossible to spend the time
searching. Definitely.
So sometimes hearing nothing didn't mean that they didn't like it. Maybe it fell through the cracks. Maybe it fell into their spam folder. Maybe they misplaced the email. Maybe they did what I did. I opened it and I didn't reply right away.
So I want you guys to rewind if you need to listen to. There was a producer that was thanking somebody, thanking them for replying back and following up. So I don't want you to think that you're annoying people or you're pissing people off. They are literally thankful because just like you guys, they're getting a lot of emails a day. Sometimes the day just gets away from them. So just think about it this way. Like you're doing this person a favor because they very well could have wanted to follow up with you. But since you hadn't built that relationship first, it got away from you. So that is just like, listen to that point in the episode over and over again when you're too nervous to follow up.
Follow up is key. So I would say if you've sent an email, follow up 3 to 5 days later, business days, because I would say business days are key. And then if you still don't hear anything, wait another week and then follow up. What I will say too is that be specific in your follow-up. So your initial pitch doesn't have to be complicated. It can be like 4 to 5 short paragraphs. When you follow up next time, include those key details again, right? So say following up about the story that I pitched, blah, 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 whatever it is, make sure that you're saying this, I think this would be of interest to your audience, your listeners, your readers. And then again, that week to week and a half, that third follow-up, again, include the details so that you remind them what it is. And if they didn't see it initially, they're still getting all of the details in that follow-up email.
So, so great. So we are going to dive in before we wrap up and let everyone know where they can get more of you in their lives. I wanted to talk about your email list and your inbox community. Yes. So I know that you have a lot of people that are in your Facebook group, and I'm of the mindset that I think both is fantastic. The more you can contact people, the absolute better. So I want to know what's been your most successful opt-in and what one maybe sort of missed the mark. So I've had a million opt-ins myself. So if you've had more than one, I would love to know the flop one first, because it happens to all of us, y'all. And then what one has just been like, it's worked. It works.
I would say the flop was probably something in the more of an ebook style. It was long and, it looked pretty and it had good content, but who has time to read 40 pages?
Amen. I tell it to everyone. Yeah. Don't do an ebook, guys. Yeah. If you're going to do an ebook, turn it into like a 5-day mini course.
Yeah. And then the other thing too is then I condensed it and then I think I went too short. So the one that works right now, and I think I don't know the link off the top of my head, but I think you're going to include it. It's sort of a guide and a template. Ooh, and it's kind of... a few details, but it's a visual. So that to me is worked better. It's a better mix of information. And I think it's something that people struggle with. It's the email pitch.
Yes, guys, you want to get your hands on that. I know I mentioned it in the intro. And of course, there's a link in the show notes as well, but get your hands on this template.
Yeah. And it gives you that visual guide to see, because that's the one thing is when people are like, well, I don't know what to put in my email pitch. And so I kind of run through that in the guide, but then they're like, well, how long should it be? Should it be 5 sentences? So I kind of block it out in the template so you can visually see the space it should take up on your email page.
Oh my God. I love it, guys. Like, seriously.
So, yeah. And that really helps people because you need that sort of the confidence. And once you get a handle on it, you get a couple of yeses, like that press success, mm-hmm. then it's easy. It just kind of rolls, you know, off the tongue. It kind of flies off the keyboard. And then, cause you have the confidence.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah. You know, because you're one of my students as well. Like I've always, the done for you stuff is the stuff that works. So what is your biggest driver of eyeballs, as I like to call it? Some people call it traffic or signups, but I know a lot of us, especially since this podcast is geared more towards like that little guy, that's either just starting out or they're like in the 1 or 2 year of business. Like what have you personally found to be most successful for getting people to your signup forms?
To be honest, my Facebook group.
There you go, guys. I'm not saying you have to have one. I mean, obviously you'll get a link to the Super Friend Secret Lair as well in the show notes, but Facebook groups.
Yeah, Facebook group, because I think the people that are joining, you're connecting with people who, it's sort of that warm introduction, right? They're there because they want to know more about you and the information that you're sharing. And it's sort of, again, preaching to the choir, right? And you've got those people that want to know more, but also it's goes back to that whole know, like, and trust factor, which again is one of the pluses of getting press and publicity. But for me, it's that, you know, that whole thing about how many times you need to have those points of contact with people, and Facebook group allows you to have multiple contacts.
It's 7 to 9. Hashtag marketing sales nerd over here. Yeah. It is 7 to 9. Yeah. It is 7 to 9 touch points. So that is just absolutely fantastic. And we do, if it isn't already aired yet, I'm trying to think, you gotta love this batching stuff, guys. There is actually an episode in the works that talks about email lists versus Facebook groups. And I really do think that it's like a peanut butter and jelly situation. Yes. To have both is like the ultimate community sandwich. And you really, honest to God, need both. If community building is your thing. And if it's not, don't worry, in that upcoming episode, Facebook groups versus email list, I do talk about how you can just be participating in someone else's group and be an active member without stepping on anyone's toes to also help get people into your email list in a non-spammy way. Because we all know we can spot those people spam from a mile away, and you're just
spam like, sucks.
Like you literally smell. So where can our inbox besties find out more about you and to get the link for the email templates as well? So where can we find more about you, and tell us a tiny bit about, after that, about the Press Success Group program. Now, guys, it might be closed when you're listening to this. I know that she's very selective about the people she lets in. So we'll put a link to the page to that as well, but you might not get in. Sorry, everybody.
So, of course, the Facebook group, which Media PR Collective for Entrepreneurs, and I share all the links there. And, of course, my website, ChristyALaverty.com. And Kate's going to be so kind for me to post some of the links, because I should remember them, but I don't. Again, I think it's part of living in that online world. You share so much cut and paste, and you're like sharing links on mobile that I forget sometimes.
So even if they go directly to your website, they should be able to get their hands on the email template, but I will have a direct link for you guys in the show notes as well. And you heard it in the intro as well.
Yes. And again, like you've mentioned, I have the group, the Press Success group coaching. The idea being that it'd be a small group of people, and I'm going to have some group coaching. You'll also get some coaching calls one-on-one with me outside of the group, so that you can sort of focus a little bit more on your specific needs, so that I can share more about, you know, how to start, how to, if you've already started, how you can sort of take that to the next level, how you can work on media kits and having a press page on your website, and the idea of, you know, living online. So how can you use your social media platforms to get more press, to not even pitch, but to actually just be hanging out on Twitter and even getting stuff right into your inbox. There's lots of ways to do it. And so I share tips and tools, help you flesh out story ideas, you know, do a little bit of critiquing on pitches and press releases. And really how you can do this either yourself, or if you've got somebody that you work with, maybe a virtual assistant, somebody that can help you do some of this stuff. And really take your media and PR game up a notch and share what you're doing, sharing your awesomeness with the world. That's the whole part of press and publicity, right? Letting people know who you are.
I absolutely love that. So like I said, we will have a link to the show note to the paid press success group coaching program that's going to be opening at sometime in June, correct? Yeah. When is the date that it's going to be opening?
So the game plan is to have it start in the second week of June. I think it's Thursday's June 8th. So the idea being there'll be live group coaching calls, but if you can't join live, you'll get the recording and be able to get the value from questions presented by other entrepreneurs and sort of hashing those things out. That's the whole beauty of group coaching, right?
Love
so you can
love it.
Maybe there are things that you never even thought about that somebody's raising those issues. So there's real value in sort of using other people to bounce ideas off of. So that's really what I want people to get from that.
I absolutely love it. And we will have the URL in the show notes. Again, guys, just go ahead, click that cover art. And if the group program has closed, I'm sure that page will mysteriously turn into a wait list. So do not worry, you will be able to get into the next round when it happens. But if you are going to be focusing on getting more PR and getting your name out there, and I know the online term is visibility. So if you are looking for a lot of visibility in the next upcoming months, because maybe you are prepping for launch, maybe you do have a course and you're still trying to validate it, get on this wait list or get in if it is still open. So I just want to thank you so much. And if you could give our little guys one last piece of parting advice, and it doesn't even necessarily need to be about PR related. It can be just about being an online entrepreneur in general. What would that one last sentiment be?
I would say trust in yourself. Stop doubting yourself. Get out of that whole headspace of not being enough. Small entrepreneurs, small groups, if you're a solo entrepreneur, we tend to do that a lot. Somehow we're not big enough. We don't have enough. You haven't been in business long enough. All of those things. Stop with that. Everybody has a story to share. You are enough. Just trust in your abilities and your expertise and just step into the spotlight and, you know, own your awesome.
Own it. That's what I tell you. Own it. Own your awesome. You guys can feel free to make that a tweetable. I'll probably include one of those in the show notes as well. So own your awesome. Thank you guys so much. And thank you for joining me here today. Oh, I'm so excited. And of course, we have the links as well in the show notes. Bye, awesome. Everybody.
Bye.
Wow, guys, are your pens like ran out of ink just like mine did? If you're listening to this one at the gym or walking the dog or doing chores, you definitely are going to want to rewatch it with a pen and paper handy. So I just wanted to go over a couple of quick points that Christy talked about that were just huge. The first one, of course, was actually her parting words, and that is that everyone has a story. Don't just think that you can only talk about your business or like business adjacency stuff. You can talk about any aspect of your life because people are always going to want to know what you do. So think about how your life fits out. So for example, I could talk about being a mom and entrepreneurship or working at home, setting up home offices. Doesn't necessarily have to be about marketing. Or I could talk about some of my other activities like a weight loss story with Zumba and then talk a little bit about what I do as well. So really start to broaden your horizons. Look at your hobbies, if you've got any free time with those, and just think of how you can help a reporter out. Now, I want you to make sure that you head on over to katedoster.com/PR pitch kit. And there's a link in the show notes so you can go ahead and claim your free copy of those valuable email templates. I went and got them immediately and I can tell you they are absolutely fantastic. So I will see you guys next week. Woohoo! We'll bring you more dangerously actionable tips to help you spoil, grow, and nurture your inbox community. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for having Inbox Besties in your ear holes today. Why don't we make it a regular thing? Go ahead and slap that subscribe button now. And for even more free, value-soaked resources and a community of online entrepreneurs that actually get it, head on over to katedoster.com/group to unlock your free membership to the Super Friends Secret Lair. And if you were one of my action takers listening over here on iTunes, thanks. make sure that you leave a rating and review. Before you leave, I know it seems teeny tiny, but it makes a big world of difference in me being able to provide you with more dangerously practical tips and tricks for turning internet randos into subscribers with benefits. Later days.